standing there signing an autograph, no. I don't enjoy that as much as I would if I had more time with each person individually to, you know, shoot the guff with them for a couple of minutes each or, you know, or something like that. That would be better than to just like have an assembly line for autographs. This, I don't really get any kick out of that, except for the fact that they want the autograph, and so I'm there to give it to them. But I would rather talk to them.
Down on old Prince Edward Island, when the winds are on the blow, and the ocean waters rolling through the reefs and rocks below.
Hi everyone, Alan Dalton here from the Stompin' Tom Connors Fan Club and Canadian Music in the 80s, 90s and More A YouTube channel from Prince Edward Island, home of Stompin' Tom, wishing Stompin' Tom a happy 90th birthday on the Johnny Woodlock Show.
But it's a free-for-all and they're having a ball, they're bringing in the Irish moss. It's a free-for-all and they're having a ball, they're bringing in the Irish moss.
Well, yes, friends, once again, it's that time in the program where we'd like to welcome you all to the second hour of the Way Back with Johnny Show here on CFRC 101.9 FM and also www.oshawarocks.com. As mentioned, we are coming to you via the Woodlock Ranch and Studios as well on the shores of St. Lawrence Seaway in Cornwall, Ontario. With all that mentioned, we are celebrating what would have marked the 90th milestone birthday of Stompin' Tom Connors, and I'd like to remember now the days of the old Horseshoe Tavern and how it played such a big part in the early days of Tom's career. Having first come to the Horseshoe in the early 1970s, he would spend 9 consecutive weeks at the Horseshoe, which would lead ultimately to Tom becoming the Canadian icon in the area of Toronto. With that mentioned, I'd like to also pay tribute to an album that he brought out in 1973 called Live at the Horseshoe, which is the only live album that Stompin' Tom ever recorded, as far as I know. With that mentioned, we're going to pay tribute to a song called The Horseshoe Hotel Song, and then we'll follow that with another all-time favorite off this early album from 1973 called The Mule Skinner's Blues, which Tom does an amazing job and his own version, if I may say, of. With that, welcome in, friends, and happy birthday, Tom.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Horseshoe with, I think, one of the nicest people I've ever met in the business, Canadian talent or otherwise. A fellow that sort of hits your funny bone in a way. In another way, you get your toe tapping. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Stompin' Tom Connors.
I'd like to dedicate this song to all those people who are drinking tonight in the Horseshoe Tavern, to all those people who have drunk in the past at the Horseshoe Tavern, and to all those people who will get drunk in the near future at the Horseshoe Tavern. Come all you big drinkers and sit yourself down. The Horseshoe Tavern waiters will bring on the round. There's songs to be sung and stories to tell. Here at the Hustle and down at the Bustle and here at the Horseshoe Hotel. Hotel right here at the Horseshoe Hotel. There's Harvey the Hunter just back from the kill. Stanley the Storeman and Bulldozer Bill. And Marvin the Moocher, we knows them all well. They drinks at the Hustle and down at the Bustle and here at the Horseshoe Hotel. Hotel, they drink at the Horseshoe Hotel. Got the best waiters, they do their job fast. Before you're done drinking, they pick up your glass. And Big Ted the Trucker, and needless to tell, he drinks at the Hustle and down at the Guzzle and here at the Horseshoe Hotel. Hotel, he drinks at the Horseshoe Hotel. You think that's funny, do you? Well, you hear this first, this'll kill you. Now here's Stompin' Tom, who thinks he can sing, but like an old rusty bell, he's got no ding-a-ling. But that's okay, because we all knows well, he drinks at the Hustle and down at the Guzzle and there at the Horseshoe Hotel. Now, right here at the Horseshoe Hotel. I wouldn't laugh at me if I was you. I got a little verse for y'all here now. Now all you good people, when morning is come, you're back on your jobs and your head's really numb. I hope you recall when it's aching like hell. You drink at the Hustlin', down at the Guzzlin', here at the Horseshoe Hotel. Hotel, they got slushed at the Horseshoe Hotel. Okay, it's time for me to give you what I caught myself. It's a very contagious disease, and if you wake up about 4 o'clock in the morning and you fall out of bed, you start stomping your foot to try to get up, you look around for an old black cowboy hat, you look in the mirror and your eyes are crossing on you, and you start laughing at yourself. You know, you got a very familiar kind of a disease that I've had for some time. I caught it from a fellow that joined the mule train in the old days, and he found out he was allergic to something the mules had. He had an awful bad case of the mule Skinner blues that I'd like to pass on to you tonight. Good morning, Captain. Good morning to you, sir. They need a mule skinner. Woo! Down on your new mud run. He was a sick mule skinner, I'll tell you that. Climbing old mule skinner from down in old Kentucky way. I can make a mule listen. I won't accept your pay.
It was a big waiter down in the King George Hotel in Peterborough, and I used to stomp my foot anyway, and at that time I was carrying a board around with me so I wouldn't destroy the carpets in the hotels where I played, otherwise I couldn't get a job. So anyway, this waiter, I come in one night, and this waiter, Boyd McDonald was his name, and he came in. He says, "Here he is, folks, once again, Stomping Tom." And from that second on, I knew forever that that's what my name was going to be as long as I picked up a guitar and sang.
Well, yes, friends, following those classics of the Live at the Horseshoe Tavern from 1973, we're once again back here on the Way Back with Johnny Show. It is that time in the program to play a collection of some of the most essential songs from Tom Connors' career. These were the records that would make Tom Connors the signature icon of Canadian country music that he was. With that mentioned, let's remember first an all-time classic by Stompin' Tom and a truly one of his signature songs called Bud the Spud. Now, this appeared in a 1969 album of the same title, with potatoes in the background and him stomping on his stomping board. And, of course, this was the first album that ever pictured him in that signature black cowboy hat. Then we'll follow with a 1970 classic, of course, Ottawa Valley's legend, Big Joe Muffraw. We'll then follow with a 1971 classic called Tillsonburg, and we'll wrap up with none other than yet another all-time essentials recording of Tom's called The Hockey Song, which I understand is still used on Hockey Night in Canada to this day. And yes, this song has also had an amazing history of its own. With that, welcome in, friends, and good morning to each and every one of you.
It's Bud the Spud from the bright red mud, rolling down a highway smiling. The Spuds are big on the back of Bud's rig. They're from Prince Edward Island. They're from Prince Edward Island. Now from Charlottetown or from Summerside, they load him down for the big long ride. He jumps in the cab and he's off with the bright Sebagos. He's got to catch the boat to make Fermentine, then he hits up that old New Brunswick line. To Montreal he comes just a-flying with another big load of potatoes. It's Bud the Spud from the bright red mud, rolling down the highway smiling. The Spuds are big on the back of Bud's rig. They're from Prince Edward Island. They're from Prince Edward Island. Now the Ontario Provincial Police don't think much of Bud. Yeah, the cops have been looking for the son of a gun that's been ripping the tire off the 401. They know the name on the truck shines up in the sun, Green Gables. But he hits Toronto and it's 7 o'clock when he backs her up again the terminal dock. And the boys gather round just to hear him talk about another big load of potatoes. It's Bud the Spud from the bright red mud, rolling down the highway smiling. The Spuds are big on the back of Bud's rig. They're from Prince Edward Island. They're from Prince Edward Island. People from east to west that like the Spuds from the island best, cause they'll stand up to the hardest test right on the table. So when you see that big trucker rolling by, wave your hand or kind of wink your eye, cause that's Bud the Spud from old PEI with another big load of potatoes. It's Bud the Spud from the bright red mud, rolling down the highway smiling, because he's got another big load of the best doggone potatoes that's ever been growed. And they're from Prince Edward Island. They're from Prince Edward Island.
I actually wrote the song in Peterborough, Ontario. And I wanted to write a song about the Prince Edward Island potatoes. And a friend of mine who was another country artist, Bud Roberts, he wanted me to write him a truck driving song. And the two songs were coming into my mind at the same time. And I was trying to write one and I couldn't get it written. And I tried to write the other one and I couldn't. So what actually happened, I put the two of them together and I got the potatoes on the back of the truck and I was away with the song.
Heave-I-ho, the best man in Ottawa was Muffraw Joe. Muffraw Joe. Big Joe Muffraw paddled into Mattawa all the way from Ottawa in just one day. Hey, hey, on the River Ottawa, the best man we ever saw was Big Joe Muffraw, the old folks say. Come and listen and I'll tell you what the old folks say. And he say Big Joe had an old pet frog, bigger than a horse and he barked like a dog. And the only thing quicker than a train upon a track was Big Joe riding on the bullfrog's back. Heave high, oh, the best man in Ottawa was Muffraw Joe, Muffraw Joe. And he say Big Joe used to get real wet from cutting down timber and working up a sweat.
And everyone will tell you around Carlton Place, the Mississippi dripped off of Big Joe's face. Heave high, ho, the best man in Ottawa was Mufferaw Joe. Mufferaw Joe. Now Joe had the portage from the Gatineau down to see a little girl he had in Kempville down. He was back and forth so many times to see that gal. The path he wore became the Rideau Canal. Heave high, ho, the best man in Ottawa was Mufferaw Joe. Mufferaw Joe. Big Joe Mufferaw paddled in the Mattawa all the way from Ottawa in just one day. On the river Ottawa, the best man we ever saw was Big Joe Mufferaw, the old folks say. Come and listen and I'll tell you what the old folks say. Say Big Joe put out a forest fire halfway between Renfrew and Old Ironbriar. He was 50 miles away down around Smith Falls, but he drowned out the fire with 5 spitballs. Heave high, ho, the best man in Ottawa was Mufferaw Joe. Mufferaw Joe. Well, he jumped into Calabogie Lake real fast, and he swam both ways to catch a cross-eyed bass. But he threw it on the ground and said, I can't eat that, so he covered it over with Mount St. Pat. Heave high, ho, the best man in Ottawa was Mufferaw Joe. Mufferaw Joe. And he say Big Joe drank a bucket of gin and he beat the living tar out of 29 men. And high on the ceiling of a Pembroke pub, there's 29 boot marks and they're signed with love. Heave high, ho, the best man in Ottawa was Mufferaw Joe. Mufferaw Joe. Big Joe Mufferaw paddled into Mattawa all the way from Ottawa in just one day. On the river Ottawa, the best man we ever saw was Big Joe Mufferaw, the old folks say. Come and listen and I'll tell you what the old folks say. They say, heave high, ho, the best man in Ottawa was Mufferaw Joe. Mufferaw Joe. Big Joe Mufferaw, 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 Big Joe Mufferaw.
Hey, Tom, you ever been to Tilsonburg?
Tilsonburg? My back still aches when I hear that word. While away down southern Ontario, I never had a nickel or a dime to show. A fella beeped up in an automobile. He said, you want to work in the tobacco fields of Tilsonburg.
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 My back still aches when I hear that word. He said, I'll only give you $7 a day, but if you're any good, you get a raise in pay. Your bed's already on the bunkhouse floor. If it gets a little chilly, you can close the door. Tilsonburg.
Tilsonburg.
It was Tilsonburg.
Tilsonburg.
My back still aches when I hear that word. I was feeling in the morning anything but fine. The farmer said, I'm gonna teach you how to prime. He said, you gotta don a pair of oilskin pants if you wanna work in the tobacco plants of Tilsonburg.
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 My back still aches when I hear that word. We landed in a field that was long and wide with one old horse and 5 more guys. I asked him where to find the cigarette trees when he said, bend over, I was ready to leave. Tilsonburg.
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 My back still aches when I hear that word. Said to pick just the bottom leaves and don't start crawling on your hands and knees. Prime your row cause you'll get no pay for standing there picking at your nose all day round Tilsonburg.
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 My back still aches when I hear that word. With a broken back bending over there, I was wet right through to the underwear. And it was stuck to my skin like glue from the nicotine tar and the morning dew of Tilsonburg.
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 My back still aches when I hear that word. Now the nearest river was 2 miles from the place they were waiting for the boat to come. When I heard some talk about making the kill, I was down the highway and over the hill from Tilsonburg.
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 My back still aches when I hear that word. Now there
you can always bet, if I never smoke another cigarette, I might get taken in a lot of deals, but I won't go work in the tobacco fields of Tilsonburg.
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 My back still aches when I hear that blur. My back still aches when I hear that blur. My back still aches when I hear that blur. My back still aches when I hear that blur.
I'd been used to quite a bit of hard work from, you know, Prince Edward Island, picking potatoes one thing or another, and I thought, well, I'd be able to tackle it pretty good. So the first day in the field, it wasn't too bad, but the second morning when you wake up, that's when it really hurts. Your back starts to get to you. And I'd say the hardest days in tobacco was the second day, third, and fourth.
Hello out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game. Second period, where players dash with skates aflash, the home team trails behind, but they grab the puck and go bursting up, and they're down across the line. They storm the crease like bumblebees, they travel like a burning flame. We see them slide the puck inside, it's a 1-1 hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game. Third period, last game in the playoffs too. Oh, take me where the hockey players face off down the rink, and the Stanley Cup is all filled up for the champs who win the drink. Now the final flick of a hockey stick and a one gigantic scream. The puck is in, the home team wins the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game.
If you have in your heart to do something, you decide, well, I better do that. I can't do anything else. I didn't have the education get a better job type of thing. And music came natural to me.
Now, friends, it's once again that time of the program to pay tribute to some of the story songs based on actual events of Canadian history. With that mentioned, some of the most beloved songs of Stompin' Tom's career came out in the 1970s up until 1978 when he would go into retirement. With that mentioned, some of these songs, and many of these songs actually, were truly Canadian story songs about true events happening in Canada. With that mentioned, we're going to start with an all-time classic located in Kapuskasing, Ontario, and that is the Union Strike out that way that was called the Resource Crossing Tragedy, which happened February the 11th, 1963 in Kapuskasing. I'd also like to mention that he goes on to great detail in his Before the Fame biography, his first biography, about this story and how he almost was killed over it by performing it shortly following the event. And as mentioned, he goes into great detail about it in his book. With that mentioned, we're going to pay tribute to that one, and then we'll follow with a song going out to our listeners out west in Alberta, in the foothills of Alberta especially. It'll be a song called How the Mountain Came Down, about the old Frankie slide out in Alberta. We'll then follow with a song that is very close to home and my family, due to the fact that my ancestor was John Wilson, who fought and won the last fatal duel in Perth. And you know, it was actually one of the songs that Stompin' Tom didn't write, but he did record, and it was written by Freddie Dixon, the Ottawa Valley. Then we'll follow and wrap up this selection of Tom's historical recordings with the story of the Burrard Bridge out there in Vancouver, and that is called The Bridge Came Tumbling Down. With that, I'd like to welcome you all in and say good morning to each and every one of you listening in on the way back with Johnny's 90th anniversary of the birth of the truest and the most patriotic man in Canadian country music history, Stompin' Tom Connors.
Just a little bit west of Kappa's Casing, Resor Crossing, that's the name. Farmers hauled from out of the bushland, pulpwood for the millbound train. 20 farmers met that night to guard their pulp from a union strike, unaware this night would see the Resor Crossing tragedy, the Resor Crossing tragedy. You'll never load that pile of lumber, said the union men when they came, though they numbered about 500, the 20 farmers took rifle aim. We've got to get our pulpwood out before the muskeg frost comes out, and may God help us all to see no Resor Crossing tragedy, no Resor Crossing tragedy. You'll never touch this pile of lumber, but they came, and tragically, 3 men died that February night in the year of 63. 8 more wounded, some beat up, tires slashed on the lumber trucks. A night of death and destiny, the Resor Crossing tragedy, the Resor Crossing tragedy. You'll never touch this pile of lumber, 7 words that spelled out pain, for the widows and their children, and their men who died in vain. How can anyone forget the bloodiest labor battle yet in all Canadian history, the Resor Crossing tragedy, the Resor Crossing tragedy. Just a little bit west of Kappa's Casing, they erected a sculpture beside the tracks of the bushman and his family who lived their lives behind the axe. It reminds us in the north not to bring our tempers forth, but there may never elsewhere be no Resor Crossing tragedy, no Resor Crossing tragedy, no Resor Crossing tragedy.
Certainly, you know, didn't mean any harm or anything to the people who were directly involved, but I thought that these things in Canada should be to be really brought out so that the rest of the people in Canada can hear these stories and to know that it was real live people involved in it, not just something you read in a book.
On April 22nd of 1903, from the Indian reservation came a withered old Cree. He came to the pass of the old Crow's Nest in the rugged Rocky Mountains of the Great Northwest. He came to warn the white men to leave their mining town, for the top of the Turtle Mountain, he said, was soon to come crashing down. He said that before another sun would ever come to show, that a million tons of rock would slide to the valley far below. And oh my God, how that mountain came down. Oh, how the mountain came down, down, down. The whole town of Frank was buried in the ground. Oh, my God, how that mountain came down. They laughed at the warning, and they paid him no heed. For who could trust the ravings, they said, of a crazy old Cree? That rock had been surveyed by the mining engineers, who said the mountain would be standing there for another 1,000 years. So nobody listened, and the old man, he left, and the miners were now descending for the midnight shift. The whole town was quiet now, like nothing was afoul, but a dog was heard to whimper, but the strangest kind of howl. All the men were working now on the coal down below, and the monster rock was moving ever slow, slow, slow. The stealthy mountain creeping sealed the mine like a tomb on the 23rd of April, on that dark day of doom. The sun had almost risen, but the miners in despair, when the top of the Turtle Mountain, it went rising up in the air. With a mighty beastly grumble, like all hell was at the door, the giant rock had tumbled all across the valley floor. And oh my God, how that mountain came down. Oh, how the mountain came down, down, down. The whole town of Frank was buried in the ground. Oh my God, how that mountain came down. Everything was silent where life once used to be. No mine, no town, no people, not a shingle could be seen. When someone found a wee baby from out of the rock, she cried. She became the sole survivor, and they called her Frankie Slide. But no amount of excavation could save another soul. The day that Turtle Mountain took its deadly human toll, and throughout the Rocky Mountains, friends, even to this very day, many people whisper and shudder, and they tremble when they say, oh my God, how that mountain came down. Oh, how the mountain came down, down, down. The whole town of Frank was buried in the ground. Oh my God, how that mountain came down. Oh, how the mountain came down, down, down. The last fatal duel in this country was fought in the quiet Perth town, where the ghost of Bill Lyon still lingers down at the old burial ground on the banks of the old Tay River. In Perth on a cold misty day, two young men they met there at daybreak, but only one of the two walked away. This duel wasn't fought for valor, but a young woman's love the excuse. Billy Lyon had challenged John Wilson back to back to settle their views. The last fatal duel in this country was fought in the quiet Perth town, where the ghost of Bill Lyon still lingers down at the old burial ground. Their seconds called out the 10 paces these men with their pistols would take. They fired 2 rounds at each other. Now young Lyon lies still in his grave. The last fatal duel in this country was fought in the quiet Perth town, where the ghost of Bill Lyon still lingers down at the old burial ground. John Wilson stood trial in Brockville, for this murder was in first degree. The Crown listened close to his story, without warning the judge set him free. To duel is a crime in this country, but the judge never seen it that way. John Wilson then married that woman, and they lived up in London, they say. The last fatal duel in this country was fought in the quiet Perth town, where the ghost of Bill Lyon still lingers. Down at the old burial ground, the ghost of Bill Lyon still lingers. Down at the old burial ground. Scarlet roses the chaplain spread around in the waters of Burrard Inlet in old Vancouver town, where the bridge came tumbling down. When the bridge came tumbling down, 19 men were drowned in June of 1958 in old Vancouver town. There were 79 men working to build this brand new bridge to span the Second Narrows and connect up with the ridge, till a big wind hit the bridge and the bridge came tumbling down and 19 men were drowned. And the medical corps couldn't be too sore of the rest of the men they found. In among the twisted girders, one man realized how last night he'd been dreaming and saw before his eyes the big wind on the rise. And the bridge came tumbling down, and 19 steel men drowned. And he saw the fright of the darkest night in old Vancouver town. With frogmen in the water, by the cutting torches' glow, they fought to save the steel men from certain death below. And pain we'll never know. When the bridge came tumbling down, and 19 men were drowned. And 60 more that came ashore, so thankful they were found. It often makes you wonder, in strength who has the edge? The longest steel beam structure that spans the highest ridge, or the men that built the bridge? For the bridge came tumbling down, and 19 men were drowned. But the other men came back again to lay the new beams down. Now if you're ever crossing this mighty bridge sublime, and 19 scarlet roses pass before your mind, remember and be kind. The bridge came tumbling down, and 19 men were drowned, so you could ride to the other side of old Vancouver town. So you could ride to the other side of old Vancouver town.
It's a story, pretty well from beginning to end. You can take from the words of it, if you listen to the words, that something has happened, and it tells the story from the beginning to the end pretty well how it happened. It's something like a folk song.
Well, now, friends, it's once again that time in the program to welcome a very special guest of honor, our second guest of honor, onto the program today. And this next guest has been a longtime member of the Stompin' Tom Band, performing with Tom all over Canada. And with that mentioned, I would like to pay tribute to an interview I got to do recently with Darren Parise of the Stompin' Tom Band. Now, Darren is also known as a bluegrass musician as well, and I met him last year at the Bluegrass Festival in Spencerville, Ontario. So we're going to pay tribute to this interview I recently got to do, and then we're going to pay tribute to a song that Stompin' Tom recorded many years ago called New Brunswick and Mary. With that, welcome in, friends, and now here is Darren Parise.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here. It's been a long time since we last talked.
Yes, it has, for sure. Yes.
Not too much has changed. We're still performing a little bit and mostly doing violin setups, repairs, and still play the odd gig. But
yes. How did you first meet Stompin' Tom?
Well, it's to make it quickly, I was playing professionally at the time. This is back in 1999, 1998, somewhere in there. I was playing full-time on the road, playing in my own band. And I happened to get a call from an agent that said, hey, listen, we're wondering if you'd mind coming and do a child's benefit concert in Welland. Okay. There's all these other groups there and in Ontario, of course. And then, all these country singers that were really doing well in the late 90s, they were doing a lot of the country stuff. And I got invited on that. I was starting to do my show, and then I got about halfway where I play all the instruments. I did my little Barbara Mandrell thing, and okay. Everybody seemed to like that. And then after the show, somebody came up to me with a card, and it was from, I remember, well, Rockland's talent agency.
Yes, yes.
Folks were looking, came up to me, approached me, and said, Tom's looking for a fiddle player for the next tour. And I went, holy jeez. I got on the bandwagon, and I couldn't believe it. So I left the card in my pocket, and I just moved on. And then a couple of weeks later, I get a call from, I didn't know who it was, but I thought it was a joke. Somebody's calling me saying, hey, this is Stompin' Tom. We're looking for you to come on the tour. And I went, yeah, right. You know, I couldn't believe it. I kept saying, no, this is Johnny. Forget it. I don't believe you.
Yes.
And then it went blank for a little while. And then he says, well, if you want the job, you got it. And, you know, I kind of, there was a few extra words in there.
Yes, of course. Yes.
Some down east words there, you know. And I went, holy smokes, it's the real deal. It's really Tom, you know, on the phone. He says, well, you got to be here next week. We're having rehearsal and we're on the road. Get your bags packed. Let's go. Oh, you know my material? Yeah, well, I'll send you a few CDs and then come on down.
I see.
I was like overwhelmed by the whole thing. I had to cancel everything, all my tours, all my stuff. And sure as heck, I went over to Tom's 2 weeks later, and he had sent me every CD that he ever recorded.
Wow.
And I went through all his stuff. Wow. And then I showed up, and we had a three-song rehearsal, half of Bud the Spud, half a Snowmobile song, and half a Sudbury, and that was it.
And that was it, yes?
Yeah, we were four or five guys, and when he said when the first song, it was kind of, I was overwhelmed by the whole thing. He went to his house, rehearsed in his, basically, it's a bar, really.
Okay.
It's two houses built into one, if I can explain that one, but he's got his, I guess, your caveman or man cave type spot there. He's got a pool room and, you know, all this stuff going on. And
amazing.
I was kind of, when he started off with Hello Out There, We're On There, I'm facing him, and he sings us like so loud without any effort. It took me back, holy moly, out there, like really loud, like in your face. I went, man, I still got, my hair stand up just listening to that. I couldn't believe what was going on. In 2 weeks, everything, my whole world changed. And then after that, it was a few adult beverages later, and three days later, we all got out of that house, and we went on the tour, first tour, and it was quite something else. We all had our own little minivans, and two guys per minivan, and a big tour bus. We didn't have that. We just had a transport following us, and that was it. Out the road we went.
I see.
That all happened, and it happened quickly. I guess I was at the right place at the right time. That might be the only way I can explain it. So,
for sure.
There's no other way this would ever happen. I mean, I had kind of contacted them before, you know, if they were looking for somebody, but, you know, when you're at that level, they don't look at that stuff.
No, exactly. You know? This is it.
They got enough people offering to come in and do this gig, you know, so. But that's how it happened, and it was a deal breaker, man, I'll tell you.
Fast paced, I'd imagine.
No. As far as Tom wouldn't travel at night, number one, unless we had to.
I see.
We only did a couple of 100 miles a day, and we got to the next session, or the next, not session, but the next
town or what
place where we're going to play, where we were going to stay. We had stayed in motels every night of the week, so you never knew how far you were going to travel, but he wouldn't go more than a couple hundred miles in daylight driving, and we'd only do at best 3 gigs a week at best.
Oh, is that right? I see.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was it. You know, the pace was good. It wasn't like in some other groups where go, and it's not like the Tommy.
So it's laid back a lot.
Every day of the week, it's bang, 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 30 shows, 30 days.
I see.
He didn't operate that way.
Okay.
So really easy to work with that way.
I see. Yes, yes. So did you ever, I know you performed on the stage with him, but did you guys ever record with him? And what was that like?
Well, I recorded the Hockey Mom CD with him and the Ode to the Road CD.
Yes.
And a few other songs that were never recorded, that were never made the cut. And now that he's recorded, he had enough material for 5 or 10 more CDs, I guess. I can't remember, but I think he's at volume 5 or 6 that's released. I don't know the post since he's crossed over. And I'm on a lot of that stuff. We would record, and then we were done the album, and he'd go, hey, guys, let's have a few more Road Pops and let's just have a jam.
Amazing.
And like everything from bluegrass to country to, you know, some old rock and roll, anything. This guy sang so many songs. I don't know how he remembered everything, but he did.
Yes.
And so we recorded all kinds of material every time we were in the studio that we never used. And then now it's all coming up on these post CDs. Al Whittemire was telling me that some of the stuff that
we're on
the studio sessions are being used for post passing on. So it's really cool. So that's, you know, studios, it was something else, I'll tell you. I don't even know where to begin with that. And he had everything. He was a prepared man.
Was he?
He showed up there and every song was already, the chords, everything. You had a sheet of 10 songs and you followed along with it. Chord changes, everything. He was very meticulous on that stuff.
So I see.
Really, really, really well organized.
Nice.
Unbelievably nice. Organized. Yes. So when anybody's, you own a studio sometimes, nobody's really all that prepared. You get in there and you throw on whatever they throw at you. But no, he had specific notes that he wanted me to play on the banjo and certain notes that he wanted. And sometimes I would just do five notes on a banjo, five notes that he wanted. And that was it for that one song.
For sure.
Well, he'd been doing the studio work for, I don't even know how many albums he's got out, 40 or 50 albums he's up there, you know.
True.
So he had a recipe that worked.
I see.
The funny thing is, when we did final mix, he had a little speaker the size of about 5-inch speaker that you would put in some, you know, kind of tractor, right? And he would say to me, he said, listen, we want people to hear me play and sing like you would be in a tractor, like a farm guy, you know?
Yes.
They listen to my music. And so he would mix his CDs or albums through that little speaker.
Oh, wow.
Then you could hear everything. You could hear his voice, of course, way louder than all the other instruments. The nature of that, and clear,
yes.
Crystal clear. I couldn't believe how he was mixing this. I mean, it's an old trick, right? He lived on that, and he'd take CDs home from the session and study that carefully. So if you really listen to his CDs, it's all planned. He gave you room for improvise, if you're doing a solo, but not too far off the chart, you know, like no going off the beaten path of melody, you know, you kind of really stuck to the melody.
Yes.
Really struck, old school.
I see.
Melody,
yes.
Melody all day long. He had a recipe that worked.
Like it was all done live too, I'd imagine. It wasn't...
Right off the floor.
Exactly.
You know, sometimes you have to go back in and I'd overdub, the music's already recorded and I'd go back and add a steel guitar part or fiddle or mandolin or banjo, whatever they are, a rhythm track, a guitar track. You know, a lot of he liked that Telecaster type of Johnny Cash thing, tick, 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 you know, that clickety-clock type thing. And so I did on those albums, I added that, they call it ticky-tock, whatever you want to call it, but it's the same kind of rhythm as the guitar player from Johnny Cash.
Because
he was really a big fan of Johnny Cash, so a lot of his material, if you listen to the guitar playing, it's the same thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, but not overly. He didn't want, I don't want to sound like Johnny Cash.
No,
you
know, exactly.
kind of put it in there a little bit, you know. So,
yes.
He was a big fan of Johnny Cash and, stuff like that. So,
I see. So do you have any personal favorite memories of working with Tom over the years?
Well, I'll tell you, the one that really hits me, and I tell this to everybody, and I always forget it, but we were playing down east, and we had Billy McGinnis on the fiddle.
Okay.
And I was on the fiddle too, but I played the steel, and then Billy got on the piano, and we would swap yarns. You know, he wanted two fiddle players. Sometimes we'd do a double thing, or mostly he just kept me on the steel. So we were playing a song called Brunswick and Mary.
Okay, yes.
And while we're playing it, like, there was a song he didn't play often, but he was playing along, and I'm sitting on the, if you see me on stage, I'm always to the right to him, so look at me sometimes, you know, okay, because I'm sort of like the band leader. If I knew all the chords of songs, and I could see he's singing along, and I could see a trickle of a tear coming out of his eye, and I went, oh, geez. This is intense, you know, like we're playing along and he's crying while he's singing the song. I kind of asked him after, like, maybe a couple days, Tom, what's up with that song? Oh, I'll tell you some other day, Frenchie, but that's a hard one to sing around here, you know. It's just, I love the song so much, but it brings back a lot of stuff, and he was like showing his
emotional,
human soft side.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh, I was like, this is intense. Like, I couldn't believe it after the song.
So did he ever tell you what it was about?
No, he never did.
No, okay.
No, we'll never know. I think he was kind of... Tom was, there's some private stuff about him.
Of course.
A lot of it's in the book, but some of it isn't, you know?
Yes.
I have a feeling there was something to do with maybe a girlfriend in the old days.
Exactly.
I don't know, but it was, because he's from actually New Brunswick, right? So
for sure.
So being in the same town, we played in St. John, and he sang that song, probably third song into the set. And I went, whoa. And I just... I couldn't believe it. So that one stands out as far as the intensity of, like, once he got playing that song and just playing along with him, I think it gave him comfort. I don't know how to explain it, but you're playing along, and I played the solo perfectly, and he looked at me and gave me a little wink in the eye type thing, and you know, it was a good solo, and I went, oh, geez, you know.
Yeah.
It was just that one moment that...
It's deeply moving for you.
You know, you can't make this stuff up.
No, exactly. This is what makes it so unique or whatever, the personal side of it. Exactly.
And, of course, if you ever played Tilsonburg, when you're playing Tilsonburg, you should hear that place go wild over all.
Exactly. One, you know? And once before we say so long here, what song of Tom's can I play for you?
Okay.
I know we had mentioned New Brunswick and Mary, but...
Darn right. Let's put that one out.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, let's put out Brunswick Mary, because that one here, of all the songs I've seen him, and I performed many shows and all that stuff, that one is a golden one for him. For some reason, we'll never know for sure. Maybe Lena might know, I don't know, but I never did find out. But I didn't want to ask either.
Of course.
Some things you just move on, right?
Yeah.
But it was a meaningful song for him, and I was happy to be there to back him up on that.
And to witness it, exactly.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Sure. Absolutely.
Well, so. With that, thank you for a wonderful conversation, and sounds good, Darren.
And to all the folks out there that remember Stomp and Tom, don't forget him, and hopefully they'll do a good thing this year for him, and hopefully I can make it out there. The Whiskey Jack boys, they're always on top of that.
Of course. And we'll also say happy 90th birthday in heaven to Stomp and Tom. So with that...
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Happy birthday, Tom.
Yeah.
Wherever you may be, I'm sure you're in a good place.
Exactly. There. Yes. God bless you, Darren. Take care now.
Yes, sir.
Bye-bye.
Take care, my friend. Thank you for the call.
For sure. Bye-bye.
I get heart sick and blue for New Brunswick and you, since I left for the West and the Prairie. And the stars up above know the two things I love are my home in New Brunswick and Mary. I'll bet the salmon are all running now along the old Mer machine, and in Woodstock the potatoes will be doing fine. While away out west in the wheat fields, with Mary still in my heart, I've got far away New Brunswick in my mind. And I get heartsick and blue for New Brunswick and you, since I left for the west and the prairie. And the stars up above know the two things I love are my home in New Brunswick and Mary. I can see the cattle just coming home in Sussex where Mary lives, and I catch the glimpse of a moose in the lonesome pine. While away out west in the wheat fields, with Mary's love in my heart, I've got far away New Brunswick in my mind. And I get heartsick and blue for New Brunswick and you, since I left for the west and the prairie. And the stars up above know the two things I love are my home in New Brunswick and Mary. I get heartsick and blue for New Brunswick and you, since I left for the west and the prairie. And the stars up above know the two things I love are my home in New Brunswick and Mary. Thank you.
And well, friends, following that interview with Darren, I would like to once again pay tribute to a very special lady who stood behind Stompin' Tom and the legend that he became for over 39 years at the time of Tom's passing. That, of course, is a song going out to Mrs. Lena Connors, Mrs. Stompin' Tom, out there in Georgetown, Ontario. For her, today it's going to be the song that Tom recorded and wrote for her back in 1973 on November the 2nd they were married on live CBC television. With that, for Mrs. Tom Connors, this is an all-time classic called We're Trading Hearts Today. We'll be back following this to send us into the third and final hour.
We're trading hearts today. We're going all the way. Changing from yesterday to people apart. I love you, come what may. This holy vow we say on this our wedding day. We're trading hearts. We're trading hearts today. Knowing the world's okay, walking the same highway, never to part. And if the sky be gray, I'll take your hand and say, will you be mine today? We're trading hearts. We're trading hearts today. We're going all the way. Changing from yesterday to people apart. And if the sky be gray, take your hand and say, will you be mine today? We're trading hearts. Will you be mine today? 'Cause we're trading hearts. And
yes, friends, once again, I would like to pay tribute to a song before we send us into the third and final hour. As we send us into the third and final hour, we're going to pay tribute to another song that Stompin' Tom recorded much in the gospel style. And that is, of course, is a song called Our Father, which is the Lord's Prayer to many of us who are religious and Christians. With that, it was re-recorded in 2012 on his Christmas album. With that, I would like to pay tribute to this all-time classic as we send us into the third and final hour. Welcome in, friends, and happy listening.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy holy name. Thy kingdom shall come, and thy will shall be done in the earth as it is in thy heavenly domain. Give us this day our daily bread. We need no more, and forgive debts as we forgive our debtors, Lord, and we beg you to lead us away from evil deed and temptation, that our Savior Jesus never died in vain. Our Father, hallowed be thy holy name.
didn't see the serious side of Stompin' Tom. And I had problems with that because I didn't mind them talking about the boots, the boards, and all that kind of thing, as long as they would put 50% of the time the words in that I would have liked to have said, instead of editing out of a lot of the conversations that I had. They wanted more of the, as I say, the boots, the boards, and the hats, and the shows, and this kind of thing, rather than knowing who I was and what it was I was trying to do.
An old Prince Edward Island, when the winds are on the blow, and the ocean waters rolling through the reefs and rocks below.
Hi everyone, Alan Dalton here from the Stompin' Tom Connors Fan Club and Canadian Music in the 80s and 90s and More A YouTube channel from Prince Edward Island, home of Stompin' Tom, wishing Stompin'